Welcome everyone to the podcast. Soccer is life. We're back, guys. Yeah, it's been too long, man. Look,
it's been way too long, man.
It seems like it was forever.
Oh my god, this freaking international break, man. I'm telling you.
Yeah.
Last time we recorded was what, 3 weeks ago, some shit like that.
Yeah, man.
Yeah, I don't even know how to record anymore.
All right, man. So let's let's get it started then.
Yeah, heavy weekend.
Man City.
First game.
Man City, Fulham.
2-0.
Yeah, it was a straightforward game, I think.
Yeah.
It was obvious. I don't know, man, but it's true that Man City struggles a bit more against, like, you know, smaller teams compared to when they play against, you know, the bottom of the top six, like Tottenham or Arsenal or whatever. But, you know, they got the job done. Bernardo Silva,
Kun Agüero, you know, amazing goal, and then
Agüero another goal. He's now
top scorer, 19,
top scorer, 19 goals thus far.
Yeah.
So he's ahead of Mane, Salah, Aubameyang, and Kane. All of them have 17 goals. But yeah, man, it was I think a pretty straightforward lineup as well. You know, having Sterling, Bernardo Silva, you know. Guardiola has been really favoring putting Silva, Bernardo Silva up top instead of like playing with Mahrez or Sané.
Yeah.
Because he wants both Silvas on the field, I guess.
He's been way more involved this season for sure. One of the reasons is because, you know, KDB got injured, so I think Pep, you know, he had a lot of time to think about what his starting lineup would be for the season. You know, KDB had a lot of recurring injury problems, so. Yeah, and, you know, Bernardo Silva has greatly benefited from that. We know that, another player like Sané, he is one who's still on the periphery, just like he was last year. But yeah, Bernardo Silva, he has really taken his place and said, this shit is mine, so.
Yeah, and then Fernandinho is back, so I'll be interested to see if he will start, and Gundogan will be on the bench, because Gundogan was basically replacing him while he was out. So I don't know what's going to happen, but we'll see.
Yeah, no, I think that Pep and his backroom team will look to, you know, smooth him back from injury, because they have it's the last you know, narrow line, let's say. You know, they're gonna play Tottenham, I think, three times in the space of like 10 days or some shit like that.
Yeah.
And you know, they have what, seven games left in the season now. You know, 1 point away from Liverpool. It's hot right now, so I think that you know they're gonna need a guy like Fernandinho who does so much for these teams. So, you know, if he's fit, he's gonna be back in the team. Trust me.
Yeah, and I think he will be the one starring in the Champions League games.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
That would be my prediction, 100%.
Yeah, he's the expert. I mean, Pep really, there are a few guys that Pep can do without. And yeah, Fernandinho is not one of them, so I believe.
All right, man, let's move to the other side of the Manchester
town.
City, man. Of the city of Manchester, my bad. you know, 2-1 against Watford. It wasn't like a straightforward game, huh? Did you guys
we made it,
or?
Yeah, we made it hard for ourselves. You know, we've been struggling a little bit, in my opinion, the past few weeks. We just came from two defeats in a row against Arsenal and Wolves, the FA Cup, when they threw us out. Obviously, the news of the week is also that Ole Gunnar Solskjaer has finally been, you know, permanently
confirmed.
Appointed.
Yep.
As the manager, which is a good decision in my opinion. That being said, I want to see what happens this summer. I'm sure that he's going to get a lot of money to spend on more players. I'm curious to see like when or if we're going to make this director of football announcement, or even who is it going to be. I don't know who we're sounding out. We hear a lot of names, Paul Mitchell, things like that. So I don't know. And, yeah, we also have to see if Mick Phelan is going to stay with Ole Gunnar Solskjaer. My guess is that he will stay because, you know, he is director of football for that Australian team that he left, FC Mariners or whatever, whichever team Usain Bolt was playing for. So I think he went back to Australia during the international break to, you know, talk with his employers and, you know, see if he can maybe like do both jobs at the same time or something like that. But yeah, back to our form. Yeah, we haven't really been, you know, on our best recently. We had a couple of injury problems for sure ever since the Champions League game. Matic just came back from in the team. Herrera just came back in the team. Lingard is coming back as well. Martial just came back from the team. So a lot of people were missing. And that has affected the form of the team. Even Paul Pogba's form has been affected as well. He is playing much deeper compared to before. You know, in the number 8/10, actually. So now he's a little more deep, especially when he was playing alongside McTominay and Fred. I feel like he had to sacrifice himself, you know, from an offensive point of view to do more work defensively. But yeah, I would say that we're sluggish right now.
What do you think about Lukaku not starting?
He was injured. Okay. He was injured, yeah. He's going to come back on Tuesday.
But he was on the bench, though.
Yeah, but he was injured. He went with the national team.
Solskjaer is a bit weird, man. He put injured people on the bench.
He couldn't play. Well, he was injured, so he's coming back, and he wasn't ready to start. Maybe he could have gone on, you know, at the end of the game.
Got injured again, just like he did with Lingard.
If the scenario was different. But you know, he's a player that is going to be needed as well. You know, especially on Tuesday when we get back. And right now we are sitting fifth. Tottenham 4th, Arsenal 3rd after their win against Newcastle. So, you know, all the boys have to put all their efforts to make sure that we're in this top 4. I think that we'll finish 3rd, so.
Okay.
But this was in front of
Tottenham, huh? Is that your prediction?
Well, in front of Tottenham and Arsenal.
Okay.
Yes.
All right. All right, man. The game after that was Chelsea.
Man, they got lucky.
A lot of controversy happened during this game. The Cardiff coach actually went out and said, I feel like they're conspiring against me.
Yeah, you know what? Sometimes you feel like that to
kick me out of the job. he's like, yeah, the director of the referee in the federation doesn't know anything about football.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, they got really lucky, Chelsea. You know, they got a 90-plus win 2-1 over Cardiff.
Mm-hmm.
But you know. It's I don't know, man.
Azpilicueta goal. I mean, that's a talk of town. Basically, Azpilicueta, he scored. He's in way the, outside. 88th minute, something like that. They were losing 1-0.
No, it's 84.
Sorry.
Yep.
So Cardiff City was winning 1-0. You know, the end of the game is approaching.
And Cardiff are playing not to get relegated, so exactly. It's really, really important.
So they feel like they really, really got robbed. I mean, when the VAR is fully installed next year, I'm sure we're going to see less of these incidents. But, you know, I mean, that was a clear offside. It wasn't even like a debatable whatever. So, you know, if the referee was not close enough and didn't see it, fair. But why do we have linesmen if they're not going to see a clear offside like this one? You know?
Yeah.
Like, they're calling offside. They're calling this shit offside and then... I don't know if you remember, like, the Alvaro Morata goal in the Champions League. Like, you know, the stuff that is just, like, they managed to catch that. But some, you know, some clear offside like this, they can't
mistakes
even see
happens,
it.
Mistakes happens, man. I mean, what can you do?
Yeah, I mean, I guess mistakes happen. I feel sorry for Cardiff. But, yeah, Chelsea, very, very lucky. And so not only they equalize at the 84th minute, you know, with a goal that should have been disallowed, but they ended up scoring at the last second.
Yeah,
with what's his name? Ruben Loftus-Cheek. So he scored at the end of the game, and
Azar was on the bench this game. Was he injured as well? Did he get injured with Belgium, or was he rested?
I have no idea. He played for Belgium.
Okay.
So I don't know why he was being rested. I don't know exactly. He played for Belgium and he actually had good games, scored a couple goals. So yeah, I don't know why he will be on the bench.
Yeah,
to be honest, fair. You know, maybe he wanted to rest him and
I guess
and have other players, you know, involved.
I think the judgment was also playing against Cardiff. They are at the bottom of the table. It's true that they're playing for every point, but
it's away from home, you know. So you really can't be sure away from home in the Premier League, and that, you know, that's. we see what almost happened. They could have lost this game.
Yeah.
But, yeah, Gonzalo Higuain, what's up with, what do you make of...
his performance thus far in the Premier League?
Yeah, what's going on?
I think his team is not really supporting him. I don't think he has the best support to fully showcase what he's capable of.
But that's that's exactly why he was purchased. I mean, obviously the players are different than what he had at Napoli when he was under Sarri. But the truth is, it's still under Sarri, and I don't know. I mean, so does that mean that Sarri is the one who's not putting him in all the perfect conditions, or
no? I think the Chelsea players, the supporting players, especially from the midfield and the wingers, like Willian, Pedro, or Barkley, Jorginho, or Kovacic.
Yeah.
I don't think they are actually doing their fair share of really supporting whatever striker they put as a number nine.
Mm-hmm.
That's number one. Number two, I think the Premier League, you need a momentum, and he still did not get this momentum yet.
No, he scored two goals at some point.
And then you need time to adapt. But I think the game where we really lost it is against Man City. Mm. When they lost, 5-0 or something? I think this game is when he really realized that, I don't know, man, he might be questioning himself, why the hell did he come to do, you know, and play with those kind of players. But
yeah, I mean, at the same time,
his qualities, I think, are still 100%.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah, but you know there. I mean, when we say that, like, let's not forget that the only reason why he's at Chelsea right now is because he was having a terrible season with the AC Milan, so it's not like everything was going well for him and then he decided to change. No, he was doing bad at AC Milan, yeah, so he came here to maybe rediscover his form, you know, being under Maurizio Sarri, but that hasn't happened yet. And that's why, like, striker is such a difficult position, such a mental position, like, mentally very demanding and exhausting and, you know, actually very isolating as well. So that's why, you know, like, a lot of the typical catchphrases that you will hear coaches, managers telling to their strikers, like, you know, if you don't touch the ball too much, stay in the game. Don't get distracted or, like, drop deep trying to get the ball. So I think a lot of those things apply to him, man. I mean,
we'll see. I mean, he has what, 6-7 games left to really prove to us what he's capable of. I would give him this, you know, these games to really.
He has three or four goals max, I think, so far. Maybe I think three. But look, you compare him with Aubameyang, for example, who joined Arsenal last year in January.
Yep.
So similar deal, bro. By the end of the season, he had like 13 goals or something like that. So he was like firing. He had like more goals than Morata at some point. You know, whereas he started like halfway through the season. So
yeah,
you know, I mean, just a comparison out there. You know, yeah, maybe not fair enough, but you know. I think it's just interesting to put things into perspective.
All right, man. No, that's true. We'll see. I mean, I still believe in Higuain. And
I think he's still a top, top quality striker. He retired for the national team, by the way.
Yeah, yeah.
He was very pissed off.
All right, man. The big game from this weekend was Liverpool Tottenham.
Hugo Lloris.
You know, 2-1 for Liverpool. I guess he just saw. I think he just saw Salah in front of him, panicked.
This guy has had a lot of what the fuck moments in the last, you know, 2-3 years. I mean,
it is what it is, man.
What was he trying to do? Like, he was trying to push the ball away. Like, what was that?
The thing is, I don't know.
That's kind of crazy to do that.
I think it's a mistake by both, to be honest, by Toby and Lloris, because it was a stray ball coming up coming to him, so he chose not to catch it. And
yeah,
just,
why doesn't he catch it? Because I think he wanted to push it away, but he thought he was going to go in a different direction.
And when he pushed it away, yeah, Toby was in front of him, so he put in a goal.
Terrible, disgusting.
But I don't know. I mean, to be honest, man, I don't know what to make out of the Liverpool performance.
Look, I thought it was a game of two halves, as the cliche goes. I think Liverpool was a bit more dominant in the first half. I think that Firmino was giving Tottenham a really, really hard time. He was dropping deep. And the Tottenham defenders were not even following him. They were not following him, so he was able to receive the ball with time and space. And with that, it was able to, like, you know, calmly distribute it to Mane or Salah. And then in the second half, they started marking him. So Salah used that as an outlet as well to get behind the defenders like he always does. And then, you know, the second half, I thought that Tottenham, you know, was a bit more organized. They changed their formation. I think they started with a back five in the first half, but this one,
the second half, they started with a back four. They had
Danny Rose in the middle as well as a, you know, semi-winger, I guess. They had Vertonghen as a left back, like he played against Dortmund in the Champions League. So that worked out better for them. They even almost scored with Moussa Sissoko on the ball when Virgil van Dijk was one-on-one against him.
Yeah, I mean, this game could have went...
This
game could have went, like, either way easily.
Yeah, really easily, huh?
I think both teams were mediocre, to be honest.
Yeah.
Not mediocre, but I don't know, man. Like,
I would have to agree,
you expect a higher level of football and finishing.
Yeah.
You know, Salah, a lot of times up front, he didn't take the best decisions.
Mm-hmm.
He tried to shoot the ball a couple of times where he would have been better passing it to Mane or somebody else.
Yeah.
And then at the end, you know, he got the header that got them the win, which is good to get the 3 points. But, you know, Liverpool as a whole, they don't look like a championship team, to be honest. So, I don't know.
I mean, it's going to be tight. Right now, they're, what, 1 point ahead with one game...
2 points ahead.
With one game more played.
Yeah.
And then they're playing who? Southampton next. What are we hearing? Virgil van Dijk might be injured or
he has a bruise. You know, that was from the Sissoko action.
Oh, gotcha.
He caught him on the ankle, but I don't think he will miss anything next week, or if he's not playing next week, it'll be just as a precaution
for the Champions League.
I don't believe it'll be crucial. But Matip has been playing amazing.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Shout out to Matip because he.
But is Joe Gomez really coming back
stepping
though?
Up, man. I don't know.
Is he? What's his injury process like? Is he?
I don't know, and I didn't check and I didn't ask, and I don't even want to know because he was supposed to come back a long time ago. But apparently they misdiagnosed what he had, so it took them more time than expected. But Matip is playing really good. Lovren is back, so I guess, you know, if Van Dijk doesn't play next week, it'll be Lovren. You know, they got lucky, man. They got lucky. They won it. Good for Liverpool.
Good for them. Yeah, let's see what happens now. Because now they got 6 games left. They already played 32. So 6 games left, that's nothing. But at the same time, that's a lot of time to be dropping points. Same thing for Manchester City. They got 7 games left. So the only difference is that City has to play.
They have a much busier schedule.
City has to play Chelsea, yeah. Tottenham, and United still.
Really?
Yeah. Actually, I don't know if they have to play Chelsea. No, I don't think they have to play Chelsea. They have to play Tottenham and United.
I think so. Yeah.
And Tottenham 3 times. That is. But I think they'll bust them all those 3 times. And Liverpool only has to play Chelsea, I believe.
Out of the big 6, yeah.
Out of the big 6, yeah.
Yep.
But City has to play Crystal Palace away from home.
Away, okay.
Which is, you know, it's last year it was 0-0, I believe. This year, Crystal Palace, they beat Manchester City in Manchester. So that's a big statement as well. We know what Crystal Palace does to these big teams whenever they come to town. So let's see what happens with that one. But... it's going to be exciting the last few weeks, sure.
Yep. All right, man. So the last game for this match day, Arsenal, you know, winning 2-0 against Newcastle. Lacazette again on the score sheet. What do you make of it, you know?
I mean, Aaron Ramsey had a brilliant goal, and he had a brilliant game overall as well, you know. It's kind of curious that he is playing, like, as the season goes on, he's playing like a lot more than he was at the beginning when we know for a fact that he's leaving the team and he's going to join Juventus at the end of the season.
Yeah. I think at the beginning of the season he was playing, and then at the middle,
he was not playing.
And then now he's playing again.
But, you know, good for him. Top class professional, staying professional till the very end, you know, loves the club, has passion for the clubs, loves the fans as well. So that's beautiful. Guendouzi. He's the one who linked up with Lacazette for that chip. that he scored as well. So like that's going on the score sheet as well.
What do you make of Aubameyang not starting? It looks like
I don't know.
Unai Emery, his favorite choice for number nine is Lacazette.
It's Lacazette right now, yeah.
And then he's not even playing Aubameyang as a winger.
Yeah,
he's
putting
Iwobi and Özil.
I don't know. Is it because maybe he came back too late from the international break?
Did he even do something in the international break?
I don't know if he played, but I know that they got they played against Burundi and
they lost, so
they won't go to the
qualifiers.
To the qualifiers, yeah.
Okay.
Whereas Burundi will go for the first time ever. So they even like dissolved the national football team, which is something that I've not heard before. Like, you know, as if it's like a political party or like a freaking cabinet minister.
Yeah.
So yeah, that's a bit weird there, and probably FIFA sanctions coming because the country is intervening in footballing matters. Which is prohibited. Aubameyang, I don't know why he wasn't playing. We'll have to wait for comments from Arsenal fans who follow us.
I think for me, Unai Emery should find a solution to play Lacazette and Aubameyang, especially that Aubameyang costed too much money.
I think that
He plays, he scores. I don't know why he wants more out of him, but I think he deserves to be in the starting 11. In my opinion,
I believe you.
Especially that he's second in the ranking of top scorers, 17 goals after Aguero, 19. You know,
yeah.
So he's in the race for the top scorer.
Yeah, look, they're still planning to play for, you know, before the end of the season. They're still in the Europa League. They're gonna play Napoli next week.
That's true. He might shine in the Europa League.
Exactly. So you know, there's still a lot to play for. I believe you always benefit from a two-striker system, but, you know, I think that Lacazette is the better of the two, like, as far as footballing brain. And also, Lacazette actually did not go for international break, so maybe he's more fresh, and maybe that's why he got the nod this time around, you know? Mm. But what I'll say is that, yeah, Arsenal are in third place right now as we speak. With what, two points more than Tottenham and two or three, I'm not sure. More than Tottenham and Manchester United, so there goes that. Arsenal does not have any more teams in the top six to play against, but they got a couple of tricky fixtures, I believe. They still have to play Everton, they have to play Wolves. So those two or three there might be a little annoying. And might prove tricky at the end of the league, but we'll see where they can end. Right now, though, they're in a good position. And, you know, I can only hope for them that they don't let it go, because I'm right behind and I'm coming for you.
All right, man. So that's it. I guess match day 32 of the
already,
Premier League.
Mad.
Yeah.
Yeah, next week we're gonna have another... Well, actually, we're going to play on Tuesday, so... We might have one during the middle of the week as well. We'll see. But yeah, Champions League coming back soon as well. So, you know, exciting times for that one. All the English teams are in the quarterfinals, which is exciting. Hasn't happened in decades, probably. So yeah, there will be a lot to talk about between now and the end of the season.
Yep. So as the Premier League is getting hotter and hotter,
yeah,
we'll keep you guys up to date with the latest analysis. And that's it for today.
All right, peace out.
Peace.